Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We continue to examine the thanksgiving section of Paul's epistle to Philemon, namely verses 4 through 7 of the shortest of all of Paul's epistles. It begins with the salutation, verses 1, 2, and 3, and then continues with the thanksgiving section in verses 4 through 7. Following that is the main body of the epistle, and then finally the conclusion. And so these four sections of Paul's epistle are the standard sections of any epistle in his day. But Paul, of course, took each section and utilized it for the purposes of Christ's kingdom. So the thanksgiving section, which in a secular epistle would have been just a toss-away, perfunctory giving of thanks to the pagan gods, in Paul's case is a very detailed giving of thanks to God for a number of specific things. He gives thanks to God for Philemon's faith in verse 5, and his love also in verse 5. And he also thanks God for Philemon's ministry to the church. And that's what we're going to be getting into today, as Paul is grateful to God for the grace that God worked into Philemon's life to make him so supportive of the work of the Lord in Colossae, and in other places. So please join me as we study this section of God's Word on this Monday, October 9. And I'm thanking the Lord myself for those of you who help us, those of you who are involved in the ministry of Christ through the Beacon Broadcast, and thus enable us to remain on this station. Reading now the Thanksgiving section, Paul says, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother." Now it's this last verse that spells out the greatest information about Philemon's ministry to the church, but it is an expansion of what has already been said in verse 5. So we back up to verse 5, skip over verse 6, and then take up verse 7. But verse 5 again says, "Hearing of your love," Paul writes to Philemon, "I'm thanking God." Again, back to verse 4, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints." And if you remember, when we were back in verse 5, we pointed out that the word love there is agape love, which has the idea of doing intentional deeds of kindness toward the loved object. And so when Paul talks about Philemon's love toward all the saints, he's not talking about the way Philemon felt toward the saints, though I'm sure he had very warm feelings. I'm not saying that they are excluded, but that's not primarily what's in view. What he's telling us is that Philemon contributed actively and intentionally some bestowment upon the saints. He did something on the behalf of the saints, okay? And now we read in verse 7, "For you have great," or "we have rather, great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. That's a little bit further expansion on what was said previously. The hearts of the saints have been refreshed. It is a word that means brought to rest. The hearts of the saints have been brought to rest by you, brother. We could translate that a little more freely, something like, the hearts of the saints have been relieved of trouble, have been relieved of pressing concern, have been relieved of sorrow because of you, brother. In other words, they had been helped in some kind of tangible way so as to feel relief from trouble, from concern, from sorrow. That had been accomplished by Philemon's refreshing them. Refreshing as preparation for renewed labor and for additional suffering. This word is used of an army at rest from a march, how they regain strength. And so this can be several things. It can be refreshment because of their response to truth. It's used that way in 2 Corinthians 7:13. In other words, if Philemon was a Bible teacher, then his ministry of God's word to them may have brought them refreshment as they received the truth, responded to the truth, and were refreshed by the truth. I'm sure you experience that as you take in the truth of God as ministered to you by your pastor. But it is also used, and this is probably more to the point in this particular situation, it is also used of refreshment as a result of material aid. It is used that way in 1 Corinthians 16:18. And every indication is that Philemon was a generous benefactor in multiple ways. He was willing to share the financial resources that God had blessed him with others, for the benefit of the gospel, for the honor and glory of Christ, but specifically for the needs of the church. He is a member of the church at Colossae, and he is interested in helping the saints in Colossae. And so when you put all that together, what you've got is a picture of a man blessed by God financially who is generously sharing his finances to help meet the needs of others, to help relieve their trouble, their pressing concerns, their sorrow. When he could do that, when those pressing concerns and trouble were related to financial pressures, Philemon could help because God had given him the resources to do that. And I hope you understand that that's exactly what God expects people to do when they have been blessed financially. To whom much is given, much shall be required. If God blesses you with greater than average, and I'm hesitated even to use that word average, because that's certainly a, what should I say, that's a hard word to nail down exactly what that means, but I think we all have a general idea of what it means. And if God has blessed you with greater than average financial resources, one of the reasons for that, I'm not saying the only reason, but one of the reasons for that is so that you can share with those who have less than average financial resources and are suffering pressures, trials, difficulties, concerns, worries that are keeping them from being all that they can be as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ because of these pressing concerns that are dragging them down. But God has made provision for that by giving you a surplus. Why doesn't God just give every one of his children the exact same amount? Well, one reason is because he wants to teach us to share with others. If everybody had the same amount, then there'd be no need to share, no opportunity to share, and wow, what a missed opportunity, what a what a wonderful area of demonstration of Christian love would be withdrawn from us. That'd be gone. We won't experience anything like this when we get to heaven. I don't know what the economic status of everybody's going to be in heaven. I'm not of the opinion that everybody's going to be of the same economic level in heaven, if we can talk about economic level. There are some indications of different levels of substance. I don't know what else to say. It's such a mysterious subject to even comprehend and talk about, but there are differences of reward based upon degrees of faithfulness, and so not everybody's necessarily going to have the same substance, if substance is even the right word for heaven. Not everybody's going to have the same substance in heaven, but nobody's going to lack. Nobody is going to be in need of anything in heaven. There won't be a single poor person in heaven. There won't be a single person that you can bless by contributing to a need. That opportunity will not meet you in heaven, but it meets you now. So if you are one of those people that God has blessed, then count that a privilege and recognize the reason why God has blessed you in that way and take advantage of the wonderful opportunity that God has given you to be a help to others. That's what Philemon did. And that's what Paul is thanking God for in the life of Philemon. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, for we have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. And what's the reason for that? It's God's grace. Philemon had come to a new perspective on his material possessions. Before he was a Christian, I don't think it would have ever occurred to him that he had any obligation to share anything that he had with others. That is not a pagan concept. That's a Christian concept. But now, it's different. Before, whatever he had, he was accumulating for himself, and he was utilizing for himself. But now, he recognizes that his accumulation is by the grace of God, and he has the privilege and responsibility to distribute it wisely in the interests of Christ's kingdom. That's the perspective that Philemon had come to. Paul thanks God for that and attributes it to God's grace working in his life. And the question is, has God worked similarly in your life? Has grace changed your perspective on your material resources? Do you view them as yours or as Christ's? Do you think of them as something you own or as something that has been entrusted into you by their rightful owner, Christ, and over which you have a management responsibility, a stewardship responsibility to utilize them in the interest of Christ's kingdom? Philemon had that viewpoint, that perspective. Paul recognized that as the evidence of God's grace working in his life, and he thanked God for it. What a wonderful display of God's grace at work. Until tomorrow at the same time, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.